Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here, and it is true. Our phone lines are open for you, and we would love for you to be with us here. Just call us. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be in the studio for a while. And if you need help, you know, the thing you can count on is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A couple of people that I count on, and I'm sure counting on them this hour, that's Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi. It's good to be counted on.
It's great to see you both. And you know what I love? I love coming in and seeing all the lines filled up. It's a good thing, right? Because there's no crickets around here. There's lots of stuff happening.
That's what we love to do.
Yep.
Well, I'm just looking. Let's just go right to the phones because someone's calling from Sicklerville, and any town with the name Sick in it, I want to go there. I want to get that taken care of.
They might need some help. All right.
Yeah. And WFIL is the station. Hi. How you doing?
Good.
How can we help you today?
I guess I'll get right into it. I come from a family of abuse, abandonment, and neglect. And I have two sons, and growing up, they've seen so many emotions with me because I was always depressed, living with shame, guilt, anger, rejection, just all the emotions. And now that I have a son that's graduating from college in May, he's walking around really sad all the time. His emotion, he don't know where it's coming from. And he's feeling suicidal. So I don't know how I should help him. I think that I was part of the problem because he saw like maybe 10 emotions within a minute. And he didn't know what was going on with me. I was always crying in the house. And he saw me depressed and lived depressed. And I don't know how to help him.
Okay. Sherry, what are you thinking? Let's see what Sherry's thinking when she hears about.
So was he your oldest?
He's my youngest. He's 21.
Okay. Where's Dad?
He sees him every other week, but we're not together.
Okay.
I'm a single parent.
But he lives with you.
Yeah, my son Kevin lives with me, but he sees his dad much as he wants to see him.
So have you asked him just a simple question, not to get too far into his business, because you don't want to take charge of him, but have you asked him, have you just said, you know what, I'm just noticing your heart looks sad. What's going on?
Well, I had asked him yesterday he came home from work, and he said, "Mom, I'm really sad. I don't know why." And he just started crying.
Wow.
I said, "Did something happen at work?" I asked him, "Did something happen at work?" He told me no. He said he's just having this emotion lately, and he don't know how to control it. He don't know why he's sad. He said he didn't know.
So let me ask you, when he says that, do you come back with a lot of questions, or do you just kind of sit in the sad?
Well, what I told him was...
Wait. I asked you a question. I want to know how comfortable you are sitting in his sad. Because so often when people are sad, we go into trying to fix their sad instead of sitting in their sad. And as women, I want to speak to women, including myself, but lots of women. we put a lot of words into men's hearts because we don't know how to just sit and give space for them to bring what's going on inside. They don't need our words.
We'll be right back.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're very back here. And we're talking to Ann, and she has a young man who's made this amazing accomplishment in life. He's graduated from college, but there's sadness there. Sherry, continue.
Yeah, so I think this is really a common problem for us, Anne, is I think because we have mom's hearts and we want to fix and repair, right? We're the first to put on a Band-Aid and, you know, take care of their boo-boo. And but you know what? What we don't learn how to do well is just to sit and listen and not have to put a Band-Aid on it. And so part of your growth is learning how to not speak when he starts bringing his sad forth, to give him lots of space as he goes deep inside and scoops up what's going on. Chris, you said something during the break which was brilliant, and I said, will you tell her, you know, bring that piece up. But I just want to speak to women in general. Some of the work I do with wives and moms is learning how to let them sit, learning how to sit without bringing words. And they think that they're doing something wrong to not bring words or to not help, but you're doing the right thing by just letting a man come forth.
Well, and one of the lines that I give people who are supporting those who are in sadness or loss is that we overestimate our words but underestimate our presence. Our presence is way more powerful than any words.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're right.
So if you don't know what to say, don't say anything because your presence will communicate enough. But Anne, I was hearing also that you have already created a story for your son's sadness, and it has everything to do about you and your sadness. And so that's kind of what we do. There is this mother guilt in there. There's a certainly such a thing as a father guilt is too, but there's a parental guilt that I have created this thing inside of my child, which actually it could be true, but we don't know that. And so it's important that he be able to get in touch with his own sadness, to be able to get into the truth of it and what that really is without another story being imposed upon that. And so one of the very difficult things about sadness is it tends to give up its information or its truth on the back end of it, not the front end of it. We're always looking for a reason, and sadness says, no, let me be sad first, and then I'll show you the reason. So
That's so profound.
Mm. Yeah, so,
that's really profound, Chris.
Yeah, so,
it is.
So it's like we were saying, Sherry.
Yeah.
We need to build the tolerance for sadness, because once it's able to feel safe enough to be sad, then it'll tell you the reason why.
The other thing I wanted to add is that one of the most affirming things of manhood is to allow a man and not push a man out of sadness, allowing him to feel the sadness and not feeling like you got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps here, buddy,
right,
because
Steve,
men got to move on here. And But if you can just accept that sadness, that's part of it, it's okay. One of the saddest people, one of the saddest stories I've ever read was a man who was just trying to make a living, trying to contribute to this world, and no one believed that he could do what he could do. His vision, you know, it was just hard to get anybody to get behind him. And he literally ended up getting on a ship to keep himself from going crazy right before he got the funding for Disneyland. And so a lot of times we sense something coming. We can't reach it yet. We're sad. We're distraught. But we hang in there and we watch some things happen. And just maybe this boy of yours, and I don't want to minimize what he's going through, but maybe he's on the verge of discovering his purpose in life. If we can just help him to get through this interlude of sadness. The other thing is, he's got to have somebody safe to talk to beyond you. And we want to help you get him help if that's really what he needs. And maybe that person can see what is the influence that his father has on him. Sherry, anything else you want to add here before we go?
I'm good. I think, okay. You know, we've said what we've
all
needed
right.
to say.
Really glad that you called in. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. Hope you'll give it to him, maybe read it for yourself, because it really does help us to value ourselves enough that we make the tough decisions. Value ourselves so that we allow God to direct the very thing he's created, us. Melissa, Fort Worth, Texas, KWRD. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on out there in West Texas today?
Well, I was telling the lady that for the last 8 years, my husband and I, we got back together after a two-year separation, and we had I had a child out of that two-year separation, and we ended up getting back together. I feel God brought us back together when she was 6 weeks old, and however, we have not had a intimate relationship since that time.
Was this baby with another man besides him?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And did it feel as if he forgave you for that, or tried to overlook
Yes, I asked him before we ever saw each other. You know, we had an opportunity to see each other. My family was moving, and I asked him for his forgiveness, and he said he did. And he's told me ever since then he has. It's just.
And what do you think is the reason that the intimacy isn't there? And then I'll turn this over to Chris and get some good input here. But what do you think is the reason that that has not come back into your relationship?
Honestly, I've always felt deep down that it's because of the, out of the marriage encounter with the other, my daughter's biological father. I've always felt deep down that that was the reason, but he's, never told me that, and I don't know.
Are you talking to him about the fact that you guys aren't intimate, or is it just something too painful to bring up?
Off and on throughout these 8 years, yes, I have off and on, and I just got to where I just, let it go and gave up, and I just, I just feel like we're co-parenting, but I feel, sometimes I want to, get a divorce, but I know that's not the answer. I don't feel that God would.
Okay. Well, let's hear what. Yeah, let's hear what Chris has to say. What are you thinking here, Chris?
Well, first off, it's heartbreaking to hear that you're in an 8-year marriage without intimacy. And that's just got to, I can imagine just the loneliness and frustration. And again, I think the crisis is the question marks around what's going on. And in those question marks where you don't know, you've inserted, I talked to the latest caller about, we insert our own stories where there is the absence of a story, where there's the absence of truth. And so the assumption is that, you know, you aren't intimate because you had a child with this other man. But that, again, right now, we don't even know that to be true. And if that's true, it, again, points to some deeper issues that Steve was saying about forgiveness. But I'm going to just come out and ask it. Do you suspect that your husband struggles with pornography or some sort of sexual acting out behavior?
Yes, I do feel that. We had that years ago. Okay. And even within earlier this year, or actually December of last year, I ended up, you know, finding that and, in fact, walking in on it. And so that has been something that I feel that definitely. But it's like I threatened then at that time. I mean, you know, I just can't handle that. I can't. And I threatened a divorce at that time. And I hate to threaten, but I mean, I don't know.
Well,
and I just don't need counseling. But.
So this is.
And you won't go.
Do you know what y'all have? Y'all have something called a false intimacy going on here. And both of you have lived with and are feeling the pain of the wounds of betrayal and intimately deceiving each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's hard. Because both of you guys have gone to other sources instead of going to each other, and whether it's the pornography or the affair that you had, it's caused hurt. So, and I think I would honestly say that there's a level of both of you are in denial over how deeply you've wounded the others.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So the reason I sense that with you, Melissa, is when I hear someone say that it was an encounter I had with another person, I say that's not really the accurate word. It was an affair.
Affair, yeah.
But when words like encounter come up, I go, she's not really seeing it clearly. And so he's experienced betrayal trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so have you with the porn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so until you guys start talking about how you've betrayed each other, you can't even have a conversation about how to repair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about forgiveness. It's about trust.
Yes.
That's the core issue, is there's broken trust here that nobody's talking about.
Right. Yeah, it's just been, you know, pushed under the rug.
Yep.
Just, you know,
well, and you end up with this dynamic of where he feels entitled to continue with the pornography because you had a baby with somebody else and he's helping raise that baby. Then you feel guilty because you don't know what to do, and you guys are just stuck there, and it's miserable.
Yeah, he's been the best father. I mean, he treats our daughter now. I mean, he's been the father to her from the time she was 6 weeks old, and she, you know, loved him, and we haven't even actually, you know, told her the whole truth about it, and she's 8 years old now. So, I keep telling him I want to tell her, and he's scared to tell her. But,
well, you guys have to tell each other the truth first.
Yeah, there's way too many secrets going on here.
You have to tell each other the truth, is I betrayed you, and I hurt you deeply.
And I minimized it by using words like encounter, and I know that had an impact on you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I want to make a clear distinction here, though. Yes, you need to own the betrayal, and he, just like he needs to own his own sexual acting out. But we want to try to say that one caused the other. Now, I'm not saying they didn't contribute, certainly, but you are not responsible for his acting out. Right. And because that part of it, it's sort of sneaky, it sneaks up on us.
Yeah, because that was there years before.
Exactly. But even if that was the case, let's say that you have the affair. He has other solutions than porn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying here? Because what happens is that because I've done this bad thing, I can't confront him on his bad thing. And it doesn't work like that.
Well, here's what we're hoping. We're hoping that you could both get some help together in dealing with truth. What else would we think? What else do you think would help them, guys?
I do think that he needs to get to every man's battle, because I think that he needs
to get it taken care of.
Yeah, and he needs to see himself apart from the betrayal and see how far back this goes. And they could really use the intimacy weekend. Really, I mean, it would go a long way.
Well, it is an option that has created miracles in situations much more difficult than this one. And if you're listening, we want to help you. But here, we'll see if we can get them there. I'm going to get them a copy of the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. I want to see them get some help together. We're going to try to find a counselor. Anything can happen when you go from I'd like it to be better to I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it better. That's what we want to act on. We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We are back. Really glad you're with us here today. Hope you're having a great day. We need your help. We need your support. We're into October, got through September. Thanks to all of you who came through for us there in September. And I just hope and pray that if you can support us here in October, we need support the size, really, of a pumpkin. And when you call us with a gift of any amount, well, I want to tell you, we've got this amazing new book. It's actually called, some narcissist named this, the Arterburn Wellness Series. There are 8 books, and the first one out is Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. It's by Dr. Brenda Hunter and myself. I hope and pray that if you are dealing with somebody in your life, you love them, you want to understand them better, and then you want to understand, what do I do? That you get this. Now, we give it to you for a gift of any amount. That's our gift to you for supporting the ministry. So please call us and say, I want to be part of the giving family here. If you never have, or if you have before, I hope that you can help us even more. We love doing this, but we can't without your support. Let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with David from Dallas, Texas. I believe that's who we – let's see, what line is David on here? Well, maybe we can't talk to David right now, but we'll try in just a minute. How about, let's see, Ross from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Hey, Ross, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure. How you doing?
I've been better, but my wife and I, we've been separated for a month now, and she's determined and she's very adamant that she's filing for a divorce and that there's nothing that I can do to change it.
What happened?
Well, it's my fault. It's not an infidelity issue. There's no adultery or anything like that, but you know, I was mentally abusive. I suffer from PTSD, so I had medication that I was supposed to take, and I didn't want to be controlled by a pill, so I wouldn't take it. And then when I wouldn't take it, I would have fits of rage and fits of anger, you know, and it wouldn't take anything to set me off or make me mad, and I would intentionally say things that I knew hurt her, whether they were true or whether they weren't. So for the last month, I've been begging, I've been pleading, you know, can we do marriage counseling? Can I go to anger management? Can we do family counseling? And we both come from previous relationships, and we both brought children into our marriage and actually have one together.
Hey, listen, I think you ought to stop asking her, can we? And I think you ought to start doing. I think you ought to get into anger management. I think you ought to go back to whoever's prescribing the medication, see if that's still the right one. I think you ought to get on it. But I think she needs to see you doing some stuff rather than just asking her what you guys could do together. Let her be amazed at how different you are in your willingness to do some things that you weren't willing to do until you realized it was going to cost you your marriage. Sherry, any thoughts here for him that might be helpful?
Yeah, hey, Ross. You know what? You have got a whole lot of women listening to you right now, wives, that call us on a regular basis that say they are on the other side of a husband who is raging at them. And he won't get help. And so they're really listening to you right now. They're really listening because they can't believe that somebody would be so honest about what he's regretting right now and be so honest about his fear of her leaving, of abandoning the relationship. What in you, what do you think it was that took you so long to wake up to her desperate pleas to stop? What was it?
Well, forgive me if I start crying.
It's okay. It's all right.
But she was always the strong one in our marriage when I should have been the one that was strong, you know? And I just always felt like no matter what I did or what I said, no matter how bad or how angry I got, she was always going to be the one to say, it's okay, I'm here, I still love you.
Yeah.
And when she finally had enough and she said, I'm gone, reality slapped me in the face and said, you done it. It's your fault. She told you what she wanted you to do or what we needed to do, and I wouldn't do it. But it's not just about being lonely or missing her, missing my kids. I mean, I just don't want to go through a divorce. I don't want my kids being a broken home.
Yep.
We've already got some kids in a broken home, and I don't want to have to go through that again.
Yeah, Ross, let me...
Not because of my mistake.
Ross,
but you know, I want you to... I know I want to have you share something in a minute, Chris, but I want to say something. This is good. This is what's called regret. It's where repentance starts from. It's where we start getting really honest with ourselves about the harm we've caused. And we wake up to that. And I pray to our Heavenly Father that your wife can hear your voice right now, because this is a man she hasn't known. This is a man that she may feel safe enough to think about pausing right now for. It's a real man. A brave man.
We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, all of us here caring about you, wanting to help you. All you have to do, pick up the phone. You call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's how simple it is. Well, guys, we're talking here with Ross, and he's emotional. I think he senses what he's losing. Chris, you have some thoughts here that you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, Sherry just shared some really, really profoundly important things, is that as painful as this is, that Ross, for you, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of something different. You have suffered more than anyone else with your own condition. PTSD is a real terrifying and oppressive condition that you've been dealing with. And yes, I affirm medication. I want you to know that. But I also want you to know that, you know, even just getting on your medication is going to help the symptoms of PTSD, but it will not help you get down to the cause. And there's more than just changing your mind. There is actual treatment, Ross, that you need. There is some unbelievably powerful treatments for specific for PTSD that are incredibly effective. And this is what happens is PTSD just doesn't dwell in the mind. It gets inside the body. And so there needs to be some work in the body. And there's different treatments that we've talked about here. EMDR would be one of them. Another one's called somatic experiencing. But some experiential work with some trained trauma specialists to really help you relieve and heal from the trauma that you've been carrying around inside of you.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes. And there's two things that'll happen in that process that I want to give you hope for and a vision for, is that as you walk through the healing process, there is emotional freedom and relational connection at the other side of those. I want you to fix your eyes on those two goals right there.
And the hard thing about it all is I'm a lineman, and I work for an electrical company.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm from South Carolina, but I'm up in Pennsylvania on a contract working for a couple months, and I'm 12 hours away, and five states away, and I can't be home to work on my marriage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
yes, you can. Yes, you can work on your marriage. And this is where I think your biggest challenge is going from want to willing to. You can't get in marriage counseling with her, but you can tell her, hey, couldn't call you because I was in my anger management group. Hey, after work today, I'm going to be seeing a counselor who deals with guys with PTSD. Hey, I'm going to my support group. I'm going to my men's Bible study group. She needs to hear those things. And when she does, consistently, she's going to start to sense there may be a ray of hope here. But you have to do that. You have to go from, this is terrible, I'm helpless and hopeless, to wait a second, there is something I can do.
And Ross, I'm compelled to say one more thing, not to have this pun too much out there as a lineman, but I'm going to go out on a limb. God has you in Pennsylvania right now for a reason. You are away for a reason, and that is he wants to speak to you, and that he wants you to be better. He wants you to work on you. And so as you're there, I want you to tune your heart and your ears into what God may be showing you and directing you about you.
Yeah. All right. I'm really glad that you called. I hope and pray something that we've said here will make all the difference in the world. All right. Let's go to Deborah.
What do you
Oakland.
Want to send him, Steve?
Well,
what?
I'm going to send him Take Your Life Back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to send him another thing. I'm going to send him How We Love by Mylon Kay so he can see kind of how all this is unfolded. But the first thing is Take Your Life Back, because it's all about you deciding that you're going to bring the good stuff into your life rather than wait for something to happen that just might be impossible. All right, let's go to Deborah, Oakland, California, KFAX. Hi there.
Hello.
How you doing? Hi, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
I listen to you every day in Oakland, California. My name's
Wonderful.
Deborah. And my question is, I was born with cerebral palsy at 6 months because a medical student, fresh out of medical school, used Farsept, and it caused me to have cerebral palsy from my waist down, and I have arthritis too.
Mm, okay.
Wow.
My question is, all my life I've fought for the right to be a person because my family always told me, and my brothers and sisters were taught by my parents, that because Deborah's disabled, we can't do a lot of things, and it's because of her that we can't do things as a family.
Well, that's horrible.
And my parents used me as a scapegoat for the family, mm-hmm. and my brothers and sisters bought into it.
Well, that's just really sad, and I'm very sad for you, and I hope you've found that, you know, even though we live in this fallen world where cerebral palsy happened, that God still has had a purpose and a plan for your life all along.
Yes.
Tell us how we can help you today.
Well, I was wondering if there is some way, because, see, I'm totally bedbound, and is there some way that someone could get in touch with me to help me to work through my issues, because I'm isolated, but I'm very social, and that's mm-hmm. the hard part for me.
Okay.
Is I'm a very social person.
Okay, well,
my parents are gone to heaven now. They came to the Lord eventually. And I have one brother and his wife that are saved, but the rest are unsaved.
Now, is there anybody that is around you that helps you get out, or are you totally there all alone?
I can't get out. I'm totally bedbound.
Okay.
And right. No one else is living in your home, your room, or
No, I live in a high rise for disabled and seniors.
Okay,
and
so you've got a community there.
It's a subsidized building for seniors and disabled people, so I live alone.
Got it. But you're in a high rise of other folks that are also have disabilities,
but most
correct?
Most of them are non-Chinese. I mean, non-English speaking people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so you're wanting somebody by way of phone or to visit to help you work through some of this stuff. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I have a kind of a crazy thought, but do you have a computer at all or no?
No, I don't. I can't afford to buy one.
Well,
or to maintain one, even if I had one, because I don't have the income to do that.
Well, I'm wondering, Steve, if she were to call our call center or stay on the line, we can help you. Because let me tell you something. I can tell right now that you have a really warm heart. And
definitely.
There are phone support groups for people like yourself that all they have to do is have a phone. And you get on the line with a group of other people and you all kind of talk together every week. And I think you would have so much to share to some other people. And you don't have to be out of bed to do that. What do you think about that?
I think it's a wonderful idea, Sherry. Can I take you home?
I just saw a smile on your face. I
know you can, but I wish you could.
I just saw a smile on your face. I just heard it. Yeah. I just heard a smile.
I would love for you guys to visit me.
We'll have a party to crash your place there, right?
Well, I do want you to hold on because I want to see what we can do to help you. But, you know, I'm in recovery groups, and when I'm out and around, I'll call a national number at a certain time, and it's a national support group on the phone, and it's phenomenal.
I know,
how
it's
you
amazing.
Can go from feeling nobody cares to, hey, I'm part of something here. And so let's see if we can help you.
Can I address one more thing?
Well, of course.
So, Deborah, just one more thing. I heard underneath it all that there is something in you that has also adopted the family message that you can't because of your condition. And don't get me wrong, your condition really does create a lot of challenges. But I want to make sure that this is clear. You are not cerebral palsy. You suffer from cerebral palsy. And I want to instill hope and helpfulness where there is hopeless and helpless. Because you are bigger and more important and you matter well beyond cerebral palsy. So fight that own family message inside of you. Don't adopt it for yourself, or if you have, get rid of it.
And it's fun because once other people get to hear her voice and know her,
yeah,
the cerebral palsy is going to fall in the background. Just go, hey,
I want to hang out with Deborah. Yeah.
I know. How are you, Deborah? It's good to hear from you this week. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest.
particularly my relationship with God. I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And if you want to join us for the program right after this one, it's 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be in the studio right after this program. So join us. Really hope that we help Deborah there. And I'm going to send her a copy of Take Your Life Back, because there's nothing that should own you but God. That's it. He created you. He wants you. He loves you. And no matter what, like Chris said it, I mean, you're not a label, you're not a diagnosis, you're something far greater than that. All right, let's go to Laura, Orlando, Florida, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing okay. How could we help today?
I'm in a 20-year marriage, and I found out right after my one-year anniversary that my husband is addicted to pornography.
Okay.
Back
Very
then,
sorry.
I didn't know what it was, because it wasn't really talked about back then. Didn't know what a serious problem it was.
Yeah.
And we've tried counseling. He's gone through every man's battle. You know, and we're worse off than we've ever been. Right, probably in the last 5 years. Than we have been in our whole 20 years.
How long ago did he go to every man's battle?
Probably 2 years ago.
And has he stayed away from pornography since then, or is that still a problem?
I don't know. We haven't been intimate for 7 years, and so I'm assuming he's still, is this still a problem? We stay together for our children. We have two children, elementary school and middle school age, and we're both very involved parents. I would rate us as pretty.
But you don't really, you're not close. You don't know what he's doing. There's no intimacy. Very sorry about all of that.
So what's your question for us?
I guess just as, you know, I every once in a while I get a flicker of hope, very flicker of hope. We both want to stay together because of the children. Our children look at our family as something wonderful. They say we're a minority because so many of their friends are divorced. They're not old enough yet where they're catching on to how their mom and dad, when they pass each other in the hallway, turn sideways. Like you're trying not to bump into a stranger. We take amazing family vacations together, so we're just a huge facade.
So what's the big excuse? What's the excuse you've used for not getting help for you?
Well, we've tried counseling. We've gone to Christian counseling. I mean, that's why I don't know what else to do. And he won't open up. He won't really, he won't talk to me. I will tell you that when I first found out about this, I'm the kind of person that when I get hurt, I will verbally attack and try and beat you down. And I come from a really good childhood, and I've never been hurt or deceived before like he did to me. And so over the years, I have, you know, he now blames me for his pornography addiction, even though we both know that he brought it into our marriage.
Yeah, okay.
Because I...
But I have a question.
Well,
Laura, how is it that you don't know if he's using now or not?
Because I've given up on, I used to spend hours searching his phone, searching his computer.
Right.
And I'm exhausted.
Okay.
So I don't search anymore.
Have you asked him a question, which is, when is the last time you've sexually acted out or looked at pornography or anything sexually illicit? Have you asked him that?
No, because we're so angry at each other, we just can't even. I try to get us to talk, and it turns into him being defensive and then me beating him down.
Okay, but that's a question. That's not even a conversation. Okay. That's just a question. I think at some level you are as afraid to ask him as he is afraid to talk about it. And so you all are living this game of pretend and false intimacy, which isn't intimacy at all. But until you find your bravery and begin to ask him, when you ask him, it's going to do two things. He's going to either tell you or he's going to lie. And so,
I just intimately think he's going to lie because he's lied.
Right.
I feel like he's holding on to such a dark secret from maybe his childhood or something.
Well, the dark secret he's holding on to is he's probably still acting out. And so if this were, and we've talked about this before in the show, but if this was stage 4 cancer, would you be as quiet about it? Would you want to know if he was getting chemotherapy? Or would you all be going on vacations?
The way we are now, we'd be going on vacation.
So both of you are in denial over how bad this is.
I think we're exhausted because it's been 20 years of just getting nowhere.
I get it.
I think I'm just tired. But I wish, in my fantasy world, I'd love to just get a divorce and everything great, but then I get the kids for the holidays, but that's not reality.
Well, I wish we had more time. We weren't at the end of the program, but I want Sherry to try to give you some direction here of what can be done versus all that is a reason not to do anything.
Well, Steve, it makes a lot of sense. People get weary in this place, but they get weary because nothing's changing.
Right.
And we go to fantasy because we don't want to have to face reality.
Yeah.
And until our lovely Laura wakes up herself to what's happening under her own roof and begins to get in a system where she's got some counseling and she gets in a support group of women who can begin to support her as she asks the hard questions, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I hope and pray that if I send you this book, Worthy of Her Trust, that you could look at it with him. I would hope that he might be willing to go get help again. He needs to get help again. But more than that, you say you're both angry. Well, you can't fix his anger, but you could work with yours. And maybe you could go to our Restore workshop, and that could open some doors to healing as you find there are other ways to interact than just being angry. I'm going to send her Take Your Life Back, because here again, a person is controlled by bitterness, resentment, and anger. What is the antidote to anger? It's action, requiring this person to get the help they need so I'm not angry all the time at what they're doing. And sometimes we have to do the tough thing.
Well, and it may mean she has to separate for a while. There's going to have to be something to shake up the system because it's not changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I hope and pray the kids are motivation enough, not just to keep the marriage together, but to repair it. And that's where some of the best help can come into play, is learning how to repair what gets broken. If you need some help with that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, we've shared with you, we do need your help. We are ministry-based, supported by you, and everything we do is dependent on your support. We wait for you to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and tell us we're on the team. We want to see lives transform. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. If you want to be on our next program, it's 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for being here.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.